Aleinu l'shabeach l'adoin hakol. We have an achrayus. We have the responsibility to mishabeach the Rebbeinu Shlom, to praise Hashem. L'oseis gedula l'yoytze bereishis. Why? We walk out of our Beis HaKnesses, we walk out of the Beis HaMedrash with Aleinu l'shabeach ringing in our ears. That has to take us through our day, or at least till the next tefillah. We have to realize we have an achrayus aleinu l'shabeach adoin hakol. Why? Shelo yasonu gagoy ha'arotzes. We are not like the nations of the world. We have a different neshama. We are the goy kadosh. We are special. You look at this wonderful crowd. A choshev b'nei Torah, a choshev b'nei Aliyah. It's such a zchus to be here tonight and speak to everybody. Hoytel Hashem ki toiv ki loyom chastoi. Be'ezat Hashem, we're going to work together for one purpose: to protect our children and raise our children al taras l'kodesh. B'simcha gedoyla. Like Rosh Hashiva mentioned, there's a war raging. It's World War III. It's extremely ferocious. It's extremely strong. It's constantly changing its strategies. It's extremely difficult to battle. But the Pasuk tells us, don't get overwhelmed. Like the Rosh Hashiva mentioned, he says, says the Chozim of Lublin, all we have to do is kiseitze, realize it's a war, and go out to battle. That's the whole mission and job and tafkid that we have. The Rebbeinu Shalom won't do the rest. My grandfather, Hashem, used to always say, you do your best, and Hashem does the rest. What is the end of the Pasuk? Unesonai Hashem aleikecha biyadecha. Guaranteed, says the Chozim Lublin, all you have to do is go out to war, take initiative. But Rabbi say, Aleph, you have to realize there's a war going on. We're not in Balshuva mode and trying to encourage people anymore. We're at war. War, like the Rosh Hashiva mentioned, we need strategy. Kliyaka says, Amoridika Kliyaka at the end of Shemais, the last Kliyaka in Pasha Shemais. It says in the last Pasuk, Vayoyim Hashem al Moshe, Hashem tells Moshe, Atotira. Now you're going to see Asher Esel Pare, what I'm going to do to Pare, Kibiyot Chazok Yishalchem, with a strong hand I will send them out. Uviyot Chazok Yigarshem Yatzvei. Kuyoka is Hashem is giving chizuk, encouragement to Moshe, and he asks, what is the in the word ato? What's the encouragement now? What's the now? Says the Kliyaka Adova Niflo, or Yisoid Gadol in Chayim. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu felt terrible. He had Gevaldika Chalish Sadas. Here he's the man coming to save Klal Yisrael, to make it easier for Klal Yisrael, to bring about the Geula. And what happens? He makes it worse for Klal Yisrael. Moshe felt terrible. Moshe. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him chizuk. What's the chizuk? Listen to these beautiful words of the Kliyaka. He says, the darkest part of night is right before daybreak. The coldest part of night is right before the sun starts shining. What's pshat? He says, when a force in this world feels threatened, and it's about to expire and about to end, it fights ferociously with all its kayach and all its power. And says the Kli Yakar, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe Rabbeinu. Ata, now that Paray is making it worse. He's not giving them Tevin anymore. And they have to keep their quotas. Just the opposite, it's not worse. This is a sign in HaShemayim. This is the end of Paray. Ata, now that he's fighting harder and taking away the hay and making them fill their quotas. Rabbi Yisai. We are in the now. Atotira. We see now the Yetzer Hara is merakei bein arachoyvois. He's dancing in the streets. We have never experienced such a strong Messiah in every nook and corner, wherever you turn. It's the Ato. Mashiach is about to come any moment. The Yetzer Hara feels his end is near. And he's fighting ferociously like he never did. And the Chofetz Chaim says, beautiful words, Shebesoif HaGolos, Kashu Ke'es, Yesh Muchama Naira, there's an awesome Muchama war, Ben HaKedusha Va'atumo, between Tusha and Tumo, Va'atumo Mabil Chitzim Nairoim, and the Tumo is going to shoot fiery, very strong, powerful arrows. Shalemim will not be left from this war. People that are whole, the Chol Evereim, Rak Mu'otim. Only a few people. Who are those people? Says the Chofetz Chaim. Hem Agiboyrim Hamitim. They're the real strong, true strong fighters. Vehemem Abali Torah. The B'nai Torah, that's us. This Choshev and Choshev and Tziboy of B'nai Torah. Of B'nai Aliyah, that's us. I walked in a number of months ago to King's Highway, TD Bank and King's Highway. It's a Musa Shmuz. And I end up sitting in the far back of the bank with a representative there. If you look at in the back of the bank, there's a picture. I never chapped, I never saw really what the picture was. When you're right near, sitting right near the picture, you see a little plaque there. 1942, King's Highway and East 16th Street. Rabbi Yisai, lo yo'uman ki yisupo. You would think it's Williamsburg, Satmar. Satmar, Williamsburg. There was total tznius in the picture. And I looked at it. I said, half of a fella? Was a Yiddish town? I said, no, it wasn't a Yiddish town. These were going. Little more than 70 years ago. What a Musa Haskel! 70 years of plummeting! We live in this world, we think it was always like this. It shocked me. Who knows where we're going to continue to go. A year ago I met a principal, Rabbi Yehuda Frankel, principal of Yeshiva Smirali in Monsi. He tells me, Ramotcha, it's a pachad neida, what's going on? Children are falling like flies. I said, if Yehuda, there's another side to the coin. There's a mishkal habechira. There's an equal playing field. If the Yetzer Hara has such power to be so dazzling, so dynamic, so attractive, so addictive, on the other side of the playing field, the Torah, the Mesikas HaTorah, the Geshmakin Torah, the Agiyas HaTorah is pulling. And I must tell you, Rabbi Sai, what's going on B'Shiva Seinu is unbelievable. The Asmoda, the Amelas HaTorah, the Cheshkas HaTorah, the Avas HaTorah, the drive to be closer to Hashem, the Avas Hashem, the Avas HaMitzvahs, is unbelievable. But Rabbi Sai, there's one connect, there's one tonight. You got to plug into it. Someone chas v'sholem plugs into the other side, it pulls and pulls and pulls. In fact, I read an article recently that the apps on the phones are designed l'chadchilo to be addictive, that you can't get off them. They put a great effort and put a large amount of money that the app should be so addictive and attractive that you can't pull away from them.
Rabbi,
this is the younger element of the yeshiva. You have a fighting chance. We have to understand our children. We really, the last 6-7 years, things have changed dramatically. Children are experiencing extremely difficult times to stay away from all the schmutz that's out there. We didn't really have the Nisayan at the level where it is now. We didn't. In order to be machanach our children, we have to first go into the minds of our children. We have to understand our children. Understand how hard it is and difficult for them. One parent told me, not from here, from another place, said, we have open internet in the house, and my children have to learn to be strong. He has no understanding of his children. Be strong. And that's what I'd like to really bring out tonight. First of all, I want to bring out a very important point. Be'ezras Hashem Yisbarach. Children, bacharim, girls, want to be good. That's aleph. Children don't want to be bad. They have a great drive, a great sheifa and ambition to be good. Parents, such as the chashuva crowd here, everyone wants to be good, especially this chashuva crowd here. We want to be good. I want to show you an example of that. There was a bacha in the yeshiva that struggled, and it grew. The learning didn't come easy to him. A relative of him, of his, bought him a tablet. The boy went up to the third floor that very same moment that he got it and threw it down, and it broke to smithereens. I asked the Bachi afterwards, I have a kasha on you. Can you explain me why didn't you sell it? Make some money on it at least. Rabbi said, listen to this answer, you could cry from this answer. He said, Rabbi, you don't understand me. What could happen in 1 minute, holding this tablet in my house for 1 minute? Who knows what could happen to me? I got a good lesson. Another maaser, there was a bacha whose mother got a Obama phone. Just yidia l'kol, kala kodesh azeh, you should know that Obama phones, some of them have internet capability, not all. This phone that he got for free had internet capability. The bacha went and he knocked out the screen. He knocked out his mother's screen. What a special mother. The machanach children like that. And the mother was happy. That's how good the children are. I had a maisa, I was talking to my talmidim, and I was telling them in life, the only one that can protect you is you. You have to be cognizant. You have to be aware, you have to be clear, and make decisions, and communicate effectively and properly. If you see something wrong, you have to speak up. Your parents are wonderful people, but they don't understand 100%. It's not their fault. They weren't raised in this matzav. It's not our fault. I only understand it because I'm on the front lines. I wouldn't understand it either. I wouldn't understand anything. I'd be clueless. The boy in middle class just ran out of my room. It happened. I don't know what happened. During recess, I walked into my office. And he comes running to my office. He's crying like a baby. It's an emistic in my mom. He's crying. He can't catch his breath. And while he's crying, my phone rings. Let's say the name is Mrs. Hirsch. Yeah, hello, Mrs. Hirsch. I can't believe what just happened. I'm sitting in the office. The boy's crying here, and the mother's on the phone here. I said, Mrs. Hirsch, what happened? My son calls me up. Abihulu, right? He took your phone, right? Calls me up. He says, you have to come down to yeshiva right now. So what's wrong? I can't tell you. You have to come down right now. I come running to yeshiva, naturally. I'm afraid. What's going on with my child? He opens the car door. He says, Mommy! You have to get rid of it. I'm not coming home if you don't get rid of it. I said, get rid of what?
that thing you have in your hand over there. I fell and fell and fell. And he cried and cried and cried. And in my office, he was just crying like a baby. He couldn't control himself. That's how good the children are. Isn't that wonderful? And it took him a lot of hardship this year to overcome his thoughts. We'll talk about that later. What was in his mind? Took a lot of effort. The help of Hashem, of course. It's guaranteed. I'd like to first open up with some very important points. We have one goal. We have one goal, is to protect our children. All parents mean well and want to do well. There are four major mistakes that is happening daily. It's kedai to listen to this extremely carefully. Four major mistakes. The first mistake, it's kedai to write this. The first mistake, people think, including me, I would think the same way, that I have the best child in Ateret. As a Ben Torah, he's a Frum Bacha, he's involved in Torah, he's Shakura the Torah. Never, ever will happen to him. I have to tell you, in 8th, 7th, 8th, 9th grade area, if a phone or any device is lying around, even if it's filtered, but not filtered properly, come on, 99% chance within 3 months, he'll be seeing the worst schmutz that you could imagine. I once asked the class, more than once, if there was an iPhone lying charging in the kitchen for 3 months, how many boys would not touch it and go into schmutz? Nobody raised their hand. Because they're honest, good children. And that's MS Lamitoy. This is from the major mistakes that parents make. I'm such a good child. It has nothing to do with how good your child is. An 8th grader, a 7th grader, a 9th grader, they are vulnerable. And I'll explain it a little bit later. Extremely vulnerable. And they will go to look at the schmutz. The second mistake. If my son really wants to get it, he could go anywhere. That's absolutely not true. I have, with the help of Hashem, taken off around 40 Bochum Wolf heavy internet use. 99% of them started from the home. This is a gewaltige chizuk. That means if we really have our houses cleaned up and tightened up, we really protect our children. It's a wonderful chizuk. And I can tell you, I took over the past 3-4 years close to 60 maybe. Every single bacha was in the house, come out, besides one or two. It's such a chizuk. It's such a chizuk. That means if we really tighten up our house and keep our homes al taras hakodesh, we stand a great chance. Third mistake. Third mistake was happening, it's happening all over, is that people say, I filtered my phone. Filtered my phone. So a parent comes home and says, you know, I put a filter on my phone. Rabbi say, you have no idea what kind of oyon the neurotic mistake this caused. This false sense of security caused so many bachrim that I know that fell on phones. Many, many. From this false sense of security. The fourth mistake. Fourth mistake, and this is so common, and I beg you, Rabbi Yisai, please listen to me. I'm not just saying exaggerated things. I'm not just saying things. I'm not exaggerating. Mothers, choshev mothers, well-meaning mothers, they don't understand, it's not your fault, b'chalal. A mother doesn't understand a boy. A boy is different than a girl.
The boy, especially in the 7th, 8th, 9th grade, has such a drive to look at schmutz, if you're a normal boy. A namala bacha has a yetzer hara. If he doesn't have one, has nishka namala bacha. Therefore, mothers say, sorry, mechilas kvayt, I watch my phone. I watch my phone. My kids don't get to my phone. Rabotai, when a bacha comes to me and tells me that it fell on the internet, one of the things I ask him is where. I never talk to him about exactly what he saw. Just know it's heavy schmutz, that's all. But the ikka information I have to know is where'd you fall. And then, after I find out the mocking where they fell, I get rishus from the bacha to call his parents. I don't do anything behind the bacha's back. Everything is exactly what the bacha gives me rishus. And I call the parent. Rabbi Saif, I would tell you, this is like a regular phone call that goes on every single time. It's like a tape recording. Hello, Mrs. Hirsch. I first have akdama, tell the mother you have to trust you. Anything I tell you, you have to listen to me. Until I get the trust of the mother, then I say, your son, Moshe Hirsch, fell on the internet. What? I don't believe it. Where? My house? I watch my phone. It's clean. It's wonderful. It's gewaltig. How's the child? How's it possible? I get this every single time. Astounded parents. Baffled. Perplexed. Can't be. Mrs. Hirsch, he cracked your code 3 times already. I just had it 2 months ago like that. Myself. I want to explain something. You don't open your iPhone once a year. You open your iPhone L'chol HaPochus 1 time a day. I would say you want to be a little more, less conservative, 10 times a day. Some people open it 100 times a day. Is it shaykh? Is it possible to watch every time you go like this? I could tell you, the Bachrim, they crack the codes like this. They are savvy, quick, the eyes are good, the eyesight is gewaltig, and they pick up the movements. This happens all the time. This is not a remote, random case, I'm telling you. This is mamish what goes on constantly. I watch my phone. And Mrs. Church, I'd like to tell you something else. Your husband's phone is more hard. The husbands watch their phone. That's the treasure of the century. So, but he got it 1 time. He cracked your husband's code 1 time. It's 3-1. MS Lamitun. I'm not telling you an exaggeration. That's exactly what happened. This bacha is a top bacha. A top bacha. A ben toira. A good home. The all good homes come out. We have wonderful homes in Atar, by the way. We have what to be proud of. Very much so what to be proud of. It's a chosh v'tziboya. Ben toira mamash. Has nothing to do with it. And the reason is we're not aware of this. Rabbi Sai, I just told you 4 major mistakes. Please be aware of these 4 major mistakes. I'd like to share with you now. There were 2 bachrim that did me a very big favor. It was very hard for them to do this, but they did me a special taiva. They wrote a letter to the Olam here. They're talking to you, they're not writing to me. They're writing a letter to you of their experience, exactly the way I experienced it. I think it's kedai to hear these letters. They spent a lot of time writing these letters to boys. And I think it will give us a lot of insight to what's going on in a boy's mind. Letter number 1. It all started in 8th grade. When I was using my dad's iPad. And I was alone, and I fell. That if you notice the word alone, there's always a secret. It's always in the secret. People never find out about these things. Sometimes they don't find out until they're married 3 years. This could be under the carpet for years. Alone. And I fell. Once you fall once, twice, it's an addiction. That's not true. It's not an addiction, but it's very hard to get off. And the chances of getting off is very minimal. So that was the start of a big downfall. Now, this is a very good bacha, by the way. It's a very chashuv bacha, this bacha. Then my friend from a different yeshiva asked me if I want an iPod Touch. Rabbi said, where did it start from? His father's iPod,
iPad. That was the haskalah of the Yerida. The fathers, remember that, didn't go from outside the house. Now, afterwards, his friend offered him an iPod. What happened? So I said yes. And I had this iPod touch with me from that moment all the way to the beginning of ninth grade. You could just imagine how much schmutz was watched during that period of time. Listen to the pain of this boy now. Listen to what he writes here. The amount of tears were wept away at night from the amount of guilt. I knew my parents would strangle me if they found out. It just kept building up. I tried to get off it many times by myself, but it just didn't go. That's also, you should know, very hard for a boy. Come on, impossible to get off by himself. Come on, impossible. I thought my life was over. I didn't know what to do with myself. I thought no one else can help me. No one can help me. Again, they feel all alone, helpless. I thought I was alone. Again, alone. My parents didn't have any idea that I had this iPod. They would have never known. Then we got a computer with open internet. I got past the filtering in less than 5 tries. I was on the worst websites in seconds. Just writing this, I am starting to cry how bad my life was. This is an MS Dikamaisa Beli Guzmo, without exaggeration. Then ninth grade came, I met my Rebbe, and he started giving us Musa, and how bad it is to look at websites. I felt so low. I regretted it with a full heart. And Baruch Hashem, after a long ninth grade, we are clean. Now listen to the next part of the letter. It's unbelievable. I know you're wondering, what happened to that iPod touch? I'll tell you what happened. One day, my Rebbe spoke about this topic, saying, these iPods, iPads, iPhones should be thrown out the window. So I thought to myself that night, when I was in bed, where will I be going in life with this iPod? Down. All the way down. All I'm doing is watching more and more and more schmutz. When I say schmutz, I mean the word schmutz. So I said to myself, you know what? It's really a pretty good idea to throw it out. So I got out of my bed, took it out, looked at the Yetzer Hara in the eye. Looked at the Yetzer Hara, and look at his boys talking. I opened up and I looked at the Yetzer Hara in the eye and said goodbye. I opened the screen for the window on the third floor and chucked it out to the cement floor, and it cracked to pieces. One more letter. You'd have many letters, but one more letter. This will give you some more insight. This bacha happens to be a top in Torah. A top in Torah, this bacha. A very chashuv. This bacha is mamash, a very chashuv bacha. Now listen to this. In the middle of 8th grade, I received an iPad mini as a gift. At first, I downloaded all the games I wanted, and played them almost every day in my spare time. There came a time when I got bored. That's a big word. Bored. And noticed others on the internet at all times. Again, noticed others on the internet. Children see their parents on the internet. They learn. Children are machakim. They follow. I was determined to get internet on my iPad too. So after fooling around a little bit, I cracked the code. At first, I only looked at news, politics, money, etc. But the more familiar I got with the internet, the more I trusted myself. Trust factor. A pop-up here, advertisement there, on Google, I was given an endless amount of free websites to look at for free. My parents would never have found out. See that? They never find out. Because I watched it in the bathroom, when they weren't home, or during the late hours of night, when they were sleeping. Even though I almost never woke up for chakras, they thought I was just an ordinary teen. That's one of the symptoms, by the way. Not guaranteed, but it's one of the symptoms. I have heard many schmoozing about this topic and tried to stop many times, but it never lasted. Can't do it by yourself. About Hanukkah time in 9th grade, I decided to come over to my Rebbe and tell him my past. It was because of his talks about this, about the dangers of this addiction. I told him everything. He spoke to my parents, and they took away my iPod and thought it was over. It was far from over. But I was already addicted, so I stole my sister's unfiltered iPod. That's a problem. An older sibling has something in the home. And was on it for about a week until I felt so bad, went over to my rabbi again. He spoke to my parents again, so they locked all the computers and phones in the house. Abotai, it's still not over. It still wasn't over. When my parents went away for 2 weeks, which is also a problem, when parents go away for a long time, leave the house, I noticed an old iPhone that was unlocked and logged into Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi is a big problem. And a third time, I went over to my Rebbe, who told me to talk to my parents about it. They finally realized the dangers of the internet and how prone I was to this. Now, after a half a year of this struggle, I have no more access, Baruch Hashem. To all of the parents out there, don't give your child anything with internet. Don't lock it, they'll crack it. Don't hide it, they'll find it. You must filter your home Wi-Fi. Filter all the devices in the house. And one pray that that's enough to save them from a lifetime of troubles. These are just little random stories, but these are many stories like this. Many, many stories like this. There are five grave areas of danger. Five very, very dangerous areas. And I say very dangerous areas. The first one is open Wi-Fi. Open Wi-Fi could be in your house, be from your neighborhood, could be a hotspot anywhere. But if the home has an open Wi-Fi that's not filtered kedas v'kedin, your house is mamish amokim sakonas mavis b'shnei alamim. You have to get a company or somebody who knows how to do this to filter it properly if you need it. It's best not to have it. The second dangerous area, which is mamish apacha noira, slicha, mechila, please, is the mother's phones. A mother has a lot of jobs in a house. She's very busy. Parents have 8 children, 6 children, 10 children. Mothers are overwhelmed with so many tasks. It's a big job to raise children. Mothers have an unbelievable task today. They have to focus on so many angles in the house. So the phone gets left around without realizing it's mamash and mocking for Yerida of Bochrim. You don't even understand how many mothers' phones brought down boys. Mamash to Oshol Tachdas Mamash. And a mother can't. You have to understand that you can't understand. A mother can never understand a boy. You have to understand that you can't understand. A boy has a drive that a mother can never, never understand that. And Chochm Gabal Nisayon. We have to be maskim to that and accept that. But a boy, especially in 8th grade, they're young, they don't have so much brains yet, they're curious, and they try out things. Tablets. I'll tell you a maisa. There was a bocha that came into the yeshiva. He looked totally dead. No pulse. I called the parents. I said, Mrs. Hirsch, come on, please tell me. You have a wonderful son. He looks dead. He has no life. There must be something in your house. Rabbi, there's nothing. We have the best house. Clean, pristine clean. They're good people. They're great people, one way. Wonderful people. And she meant it. She's a good person. A month or two later, the boy came to me. I'll tell you where he found it. The house was clean. But the father used to bring it home once a week and once in 2 weeks. His tablet from work. And the son knew it came home once in 2 weeks to cover Shabbos Kodesh. And since 7th grade, on the worst schmutz in the world. A wonderful mishpacha. And a wonderful, sweet boy, Maldera Cheretz, a wonderful bacha. MS Lamito, I'm telling you. And they finally got rid of it. They didn't mean bad at all. They were really wonderful people. Very good people. Good mechanchim, good parents, devoted parents, but they didn't have. Once a week I came home, since 7th grade. For younger children, the fourth area of grave danger are gaming devices. iPod touches all the gaming devices. Parents leave their children with these gaming devices, and it happened, Haber, Chalolim, Noflu, many children have fallen. Half what happened to them is unbelievable, because they play with them and they use it, they crack the codes, they go to Wi-Fi hotspots, and they get into heavy schmutz at younger ages. This happens many, many times. Rabbeisai, it's kedai, I beg you not to have any gaming devices in the house. Many children say, I'm bored. You know what I tell my children? Be bored. But everyone in my class, maybe yeah, maybe not. We do the best for our children. We love you, we care about you. We're not gonna do things that are gonna hurt you. Don't be afraid of your children. Sports. Maybe I don't have to talk about it, but I want to have to be my dear Olam still. Sports used to be like an area of Rishus, like a neutral zone, an outlet, a chilling outlet for people who say. Rabbi said, you should know, I want to be my dear Olam. K'rachol bitcha tani. That sports today brings about in children the great possibility of becoming addicted to schmutz because of the advertisements and what they show during the games and what they're exposed to. It's not neutral anymore. I know the people that have a hard time with sports, and especially when a child sees his parents doing it or he sees other children, we have to be very strong. It's not like it used to be 10 years ago. When the sport, people are watching sports, even if they don't watch it, they listen to it, they want to watch it. It's come out guaranteed you're going to see heavy schmutz. And little children, when they see it, they're not used to it. It motivates them to want to see more, which I'll explain shortly. And the next one, you're not going to believe. I was in Clove Lake Park this past Pesach, having a little picnic with my family, and I get a phone call. Hello, Rebbe. It's Reuven. He sounds very sad. No life in his voice. It happened again. It happened again. I said, I cleaned out your whole house already. We did everything. We did gas chomets, beer chomets, mamish, l'shem u'tafeles, egzashayim. You wouldn't believe it. And this is the second one I had this year like this. You ready for this one? The maid's phone. I'm telling you, I had two very good bachurim this year that fell in the worst schmutz on the maid's phone. Rabbeisai, I ask you, is it worth a 1% chance that your child is going to lose shnei olamos by one sitting? Don't be afraid of your maid. I had two bachurim this year like that. Both in 10th grade. You think I'm making this up? I prepared all this, made up a... This is mamish what happened. Okay, age. Let's talk about age. Rabbeisai. The most vulnerable age for children, where they really fall, come out always, is 8th grade. 7th a little bit, 8th. That age, the children are not really maturing, their drive is developing, and they don't understand. They're curious, they don't understand the dangers. But now here I want to put, we're talking to a younger Olam, I want to explain you something. And if you listen to me, Hashem will help you. I'll tell you what. What people do today is, innocently, no one means bad, they give their phones to the children to play games on. You have no idea what kind of churban that is bringing to Klal Yisrael. I'll tell you why. Even if it's filtered, there's no browser, they get used to the phones at a young age already. and they get used to touching these phones, and they become savvy on the phones, and it becomes part of their life at a young age already. We had one person come to Machna Kaddish. They came with a tablet. We said, you don't allow tablets in the yeshiva anymore. It's too dangerous, the tablets. Tablets move around very quick. They're dazzling. Too many nefilas. So what do you mean? We use this for our three-year-old. They play games on it. They play games. This is what keeps them busy. It's a good family. Clueless, but totally clueless. This is what's going on. People don't understand. It's no one's fault. I know, because I'm on the front lines. Okay, now, I would like to spend some time in something extremely important. If you understand this, it will really make you aware. What happens when a boy falls? What happens? I want to be mazbe t'roilam, be'ezaz Hashem, to help explain to you what goes on. Listen carefully to this. When a boy sees one time, 5 seconds, that's it, 3 seconds, that's all it takes for the damage. One time, 3 seconds. The amount of pictures and ideas that they never dreamed of, never thought about, they were exposed to already at whatever age it is. Whoa. It gives them a certain sense of curiosity beyond belief. They feel terribly ashamed and guilty about themselves. They looked at it. You know what happens next? Then comes the taiva back, and it drives back, and he goes to see it again. 100% he'll go again. Not 99. The drive, and then again the guilt comes in, and the shame, and then the drive. Now listen, Gabe, now I'm going to explain to you something. The Chazon Ish in Emunah B'Tochin, is Masber, explains there are two parts to the brain. There's what's called the Seichel, that's the logical part of the brain, the analyzer of the brain, and then there is the Dimyon. The Dimyon is that we call it the feeling part of the brain, the driver of the brain, which means you want to eat, you have a feeling, a taiva to eat, you want clothing, you want food, you want to sleep, there's a driver. This Dimyon, says the Chazon Ish, is shitchi bilti yuni. It's superficial, it doesn't analyze. It has no brakes. The Seichel is supposed to analyze and put on the brakes on the Dimyon. Now, listen carefully. There's another part to the Dimyon. We'll call it in simple terms, it's called the attraction center. This part of the Dimyon, the feeling part of the brain, the driver, the taiva of the brain, is shut down until around 13, 14, 15. It doesn't work. It's totally off. Because the brain, the Chayvah always explains, is not strong enough for this yet. It can't overpower. This attraction center is the most powerful part of the Dimyon. It is extremely ferocious, extremely powerful, extremely forceful. Kadosh Baruch Hu put a nes, it doesn't activate until 13, 14, 15. However, if a young child at a younger age sees something inappropriate, it will start firing up this part of the brain at a much earlier age. And whoa, is to that child. The brain is not in full function yet. It doesn't have kayach. And it just keeps going and going. And I'll tell you what happens now. When a child sees something, it gives him a high. And the force is beyond imagination. And then, when he reaches, he gets like the high is number one. When he goes back to it, he doesn't get a high anymore from level number one. So he looks for level number two. And when he goes to level number two, he wants level number three. And the schmutz that's out there is endless. And Rabbi say, this is destroying our youth beyond imagination. Children are maturing earlier. The Dimyon is starting to work at a much earlier age. And afterwards, it's come out impossible to control this child afterwards. Come out impossible. It takes how many seeings? I read up on this as well. One time. Not two. You don't stand a chance. It's one time. If no one speaks to that boy who knows how to talk to him, he's gone for life. And you'll never find out. You will never find out. Yeah, after he's married a couple years, he can hit the fan. He can't have a normal marriage. Because a child that sees these things looks at his wife as an object, not as a person. The pictures fool the brain and make the brain feel that this is the real type of relationships. It's sakonas maves mishnei elamos. And they say the addiction of this is worse than drugs. Because it's always with you. Once a boy sees these pictures, they're etched in his mind, come out forever. But I have good news for you. 6 years ago, I was zoicha to meet Rav Michal Yudel Lefkowitz Zatzal. It was kedai the whole trip just for this meeting. I went to Rav Michal, I said, Rav Michal, was Erev Chanukah Sunday, seven years ago. Said, Rosh Hashiva, tell me, what do I do when a bacha tells me that he fell on the internet? Rav Michal Yudel, he's already 97, 96 then. Tell me over directly that I heard from him. He goes like this, oi! Then he looks at me. I'm sitting over here. He tells me, Midaf lenin toiro. You have to learn toiro. And he went over and over this like for a minute. Midaf lenin toiro. I thought it was over in the speech. It wasn't over. He looks at me and he tells me, Das is nicht genug. That's not enough. Midav chazora satoiro, chazora, chazora, and he went on like this. Chazora, 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 nochamol, nochamol, again and again and again and again and again. And he stops. His speech wasn't over yet. He looks at me again. He says to me like this. Dos is nish genug. That's not enough. He takes his hand, Rabbi Yisai, and he puts his hand by his head, and he says, Midav, Torah in the cup, midav shvimin in Torah. We need Torah in the head. It should be so clear. You walk out into the street, the Gemara is in front of you. The Torah should be chel of your atmius. Das is the einzige Weg. That's the only way. The Chayva Zavalis in Avodah Zarah Kim says, what makes the seichel strong? Torah. We need the seichel to be powerful. And Baruch Hashem, we have that. It's a chosh of a ilum here. The Amelus HaTayra, the Agiyas HaTayra is unbelievable today. There's a special Shas HaKosha now. And it's really a pasuk etil. Belibi tzafanti im rasecha. Deep in your heart are hidden your words of Tayra. Laman layachtla, so you won't sin. Baruch Hashem, Hashem gave us that tool. And I use this so many times, and it works like magic. It was worth the whole trip that Yisrael to get this message from Michal Yehuda and give it over to Dalai Lama. Some Eitzes. It's very important. People today are very afraid of the children. People are afraid to say no. Don't be afraid of your children. Be afraid for your children. Don't be afraid to say no. Calmly, firmly, and fear. But more important, create an environment. It's not that it's also. We're so special. We have a home that's built on Taras HaKodesh. We have a happy home. We have a Simchitika home. We have a home with a Shechina Shaira. We're so fortunate. Look what's going on and look how lucky we are. And I say that to all of us. We're so lucky to have such parents like you. That's Chosh V'Chosh V'Nei Torah Aliyah. We have to put the dogesh, the emphasis on how special we are. Leinu l'shabayach adayin ha-koyel. Shalo yasonu goy ha-ratzayz, ha-shabach ha-bonim ikol ha-amim. There's a pasuk in Mishlei that says, Musa Hashem, What's the Musa of Hashem? Beni, you're my son. Children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Altimasu! Don't make things miss. We are children of Hashem. We're so special. If we raise our in our homes, we have Simchas HaMitzvah, Simchas HaTorah, Abbas Yisrael, Abbas HaMitzvah. We're so lucky and so special. Such a tone, it's constantly in the house. Children want to be good. Children want to be happy. Children want to listen to their parents. But now here's the biggest side of my side. It sounds subtle, but it's such a side. I beg you to really listen to this. I'll give you a tell you a little story of my grandfather was showing. My grandfather was 85 years old when he told me the story. This story happened when he was 5. And he said it to me like it just happened. He said to me, when I was a little boy, I went to my father to complain about my mother. My father looked me squarely in the eyes. He said, come here. My father sat down. He put me on his lap and gave me one smack. Then he looked at me again. He sat me up, stood me up. He tells me, don't ever come to complain to me again about your mother. Your mother and father are one. Rabbi Yisai, the only way a home could really fight this battle, if there's no shinui, no difference, not even a subtle difference, I'll talk to daddy about it, I'll talk to mommy about it. You make up together. You form a team that's unbreakable and that can be penetrated with Ava, with firmness, with fairness. But it's a team, it's one message. It's not one parent working against the other one. When a child comes to a father or to a mother to complain about the other one, you know, daddy is so strict. Oh, mommy is so strict. Don't react. Just leave. You want to do something, let the child know. The child should see you can't use one parent against the other one. This is a miracle. If you have this in your home, you'll have a strong home. Once one parent starts being the lawyer for the child, you lost all chinuch. You have no kalich. There's always one against the other one. It's a very subtle thing. Even a little bit. There should be no penetration between the parents. Your father and mother are one. He remembered the story 80 years later. He was a very special man. Now, I want to express something. Children, b'derech klal, are mechaken. They imitate parents all the time. Whatever parent kids do, whatever parents do, children do. They follow parents. I have studied this. Parents that don't have any smartphones or don't show it to their children at all, their children will later on, 90% will not have smartphones. Children, if they see their parents on the phone all the time, they will want it as well, like you saw from the letter. If you need it, for whatever reason, it should not be exposed to the children. You will have very good children that way. The pasuk tells us, "Vati Yisrael, Ma Hashem Alakach Hashem Mimach." Now, what does Hashem ask from you? Says the Chofetz Chaim, when you get up in the morning, now ask yourself, "Ribbono Shel Olam, Ma Ata Shoyel Mimi?" What is my job now? And you constantly ask ourselves the whole day, Ma Hashem Shoyel Mimach. Rabbeisai, V'ata Yisrael, Ma Hashem Shoyel Mimanu tonight. What is Hashem asking from us tonight? We're going to be an example for everyone in Flatbush, for everyone in Lakewood, everyone in Muncie. There's going to be no more sleeping. We're going to protect our precious children, not leave a 10% hole. Many people say, I need it. I need it. What does the word I need it mean? We have to ask ourselves a question. I know, Rabbi Yisai, for business, it's much more convenient not to have a filter. But I ask you a question. When a phone is not filtered at home, there's at least in the father's phone, at least a 20% chance the child is going to fall sometime. Let's say 10 even. So you have like this, you have Shnei Tzadim, Tzad Aleph, convenience of my business versus no protection for my children. Are you willing to take a 20% chance that a child will get Yanamachlo? This is worse. This is Shnei Alamas. How many times does he have to see it? One time, that's it. Just once. That's not exaggerated. You can read the studies on it. But if we tell the Rebbe Yishloyam, V'ata Yisrael, Ma Hashem Shoyon Eimanu, what does Hashem ask from us? I'm going to be inconvenient. I'm not going to have the convenience of my business. I'm not going to have the convenience of shopping. I'm going to protect my children. Hashem says, ooh, you moise nefesh? You're taking position? I'm going to watch your children. Like my grandfather, Allah Shalom, used to say, you do your best. Hashem does the rest. Telling one little story, it was the ending here. It was a ma'aser with a young person, a young fellow. He was sleeping at night, and he had a dream. He was walking in a midbar, in a desert, all by himself. And all of a sudden, he looks around, and he sees two sets of footprints. So, who's two sets? Hello? Hello? Nobody's around. The morning he gets up, it's a very funny dream. He goes to his Rav. He tells the Rav, I had a very, very strange dream. The Rav tells him, the second set of footprints is the Rebbeinu Shalom walking at your side. Many years later, he had the same dream. And he remembered the whole dream. And he looks around to see, is there a second set of footprints? And lo and behold, Rabbi say, there's only one set of footprints. He comes to Pachat! Oi! The Rebbeinu Shalom's not with me anymore! He ran the next morning to his Rav, and his Rav told him, you don't understand that one set of footprints is the Rebbeinu Shalom carrying you. Rabbi say, I tell you that today. We just step into Hashem's hands. And we tell Hashem, V'ati Yisrael Ma Hashem Shel Meimanu. What does Hashem want from us? Let's build our homes, our tires, our kodesh. That's stepping into the hands of Hashem. Then Hashem carries us and takes care of our children by Finifla. May we be Zaycha to the Orchadosh Al Tzien Toyer, to the big light.
This speech is provided by Smart Choices. For the Smart Choices hotline or to order CDs, call 732-400-9003.